Well, I'm really loving the diversity of these days. So we have been starting with beautiful behaviors and diverse behaviors and how we can leverage on them. We have been exploring time management. We have been exploring impact leadership, then finances. Then we went to healthy eating. We have been exploring retreats and how to create them in diverse environments. And now we are going into the metaverse. So I think this is such a beautiful day and showcasing diversity itself. We'll be bringing up two friends. I'm part of a beautiful community led by Shraddha Garwal called Meta Shapers, and we are all about the future, and we try to help people to get there a little bit smoother. So I will be bringing on Marta first, and after that Jack, and they will be having here 20 minutes with you, exploring the metaverse and how diversity can come into a new environment like this. So let's bring up Marta. Hi, Marta. How are you today?
I'm very well. So for me, it's morning. I'm dialing in or calling in from Switzerland. And I'm super, super excited being here and talking about my favorite topic, metaverse, virtual worlds, technology, and how it can help us to create more diversity and inclusiveness.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And I know that you just got an award, and I have to say it. Congratulations, because you got a piece of art. Like, tell a little bit about this.
Yeah, I've been absolutely overwhelmed. So I've been appointed a UN ambassador for peace. And my focus is really our technology, humanity. So we know that a lot of people are rightly so in parts very scared about new technology and what we can do. And in particular, virtual worlds is a bit like science fiction to go into this dystopian scenarios. And I'm helping people to make this translation and empower them to really come from where they are today, where we can be tomorrow. And everything is happening so fast that at times it's even a lot for us, as you know, in the community, in the MetaShaper community, it's like, oh my God, you know, again, something new. We can hardly comprehend, but that's why it's so more important that we are all together, that we're learning together. So one of my big focuses is also, as you know, education. So I created my own metaverse to give people a platform and collaboration. And again, I've been super, super overwhelmed by the response. I have it since March and over 12,000 views, which for my little world is quite a lot. I'm not in the millions of BlackRock, but I don't have to be because my one is very specific.
Thank you so much for sharing and for the little introduction. And then bringing up the second guest, who is Jacques. Hi, Jacques. How are you today?
Good morning. I think I'm in the same time zone as Martha. I'm here in Cape Town, South Africa. It's 12 p.m. for me. So really looking forward to this. And congratulations, Martha, again. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And you can also tell a little bit about yourself until I'm getting ready with Akina in the backstage.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm a smart technology entrepreneur. I've been, I did my PhD in AI in the 90s, and I've been ever since involved in artificial intelligence, first as a researcher, but then academic, but then very quickly went into the business world. So I started my first AI company, Season Systems, and I sold that to General Electric in 2011. But apart from that 14 years, obviously selling a company, the experience gained in terms of applying artificial intelligence across the globe in all those industries was incredible. And obviously after that, many, many, many things. I also wrote this book, Democratizing AI to Benefit Everyone. So trustworthy AI, trustworthy AI guardrails, ethics, diversity, those kind of things are very important. I do discuss this in my book as well. So I'm really looking forward to discussing this year as well. So, and also
thank
the role
so
of
much.
AI. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Sorry to cut you short. We have 20 minutes, so I have to bring up Akina.
Perfect.
And she's also escaping a family dinner, so I will be bringing up her so that she can go back to her guests. Let's bring up Akina.
Really?
Hi, Akina. How are you today?
I am good. Hi, Martha. Hi.
Hi. So it's very late, Akina, for you now. Thanks for joining us and skipping your dinner, your poor family.
No problem. No, I just have guests that so happen to be at my house. It's only 6 p.m., so I just tell them to go and have some drinks and relax. And while I'm on this call, I'll come back and host you again once I'm done. So they're like, okay, they're actually very nice about it.
And then you have to keep up with the drinking because they might be already very relaxed.
So hi, everybody. My name is Akina Ho. I'm actually based in Hong Kong right now. I'm the co-founder of All-Star Women DAO, which is going to be an investment DAO. Hopefully, we'll launch it early next year. But we have been building a community. And Dr. Martha, it's it's part of our All-Star Women DAO ambassador, which is amazing. We love all the stuff she's been doing. And it teaches our community a lot. And so we have about over 90,000 followers worldwide in all our leaders and social media. We have about 10 chapters around the world. Actual physical office, we have one in Hong Kong and one in Taiwan. Hopefully, we'll be able to launch in Singapore and also China early next year to have a physical office, because whereby we do a lot of events to educate people about Web3 and also support female entrepreneur and launching a career into the space.
Thank you so much. So I will be giving you the stage, Martha. Please have a beautiful conversation. I will be backstage supporting you and will be popping up later when we have to wrap up. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. So Andrea already told us when we see her hat, we have to stop. So that's guidance for our talk. Yeah, we will have a very casual talk as we basically said a couple of minutes ago. So we all very heavily into diversity. And we have enough topics to talk about. So Akina, I would love to start with you also with All-Star Women DAO. What you do is about the numbers, yes, but it's also a lot about the content. I'm always amazed. We are so young in this setup, but there have been so many people joining. And as you said, it's so important that we support female founders, startups, and can you give us maybe some case studies examples, Akina, how you do this and what we can learn from that?
Okay, so basically, All-Star Women DAO, the community, it's all volunteer. We have a core team that works very closely. Everybody volunteer in Hong Kong and we act at the office. And we do a lot of events. And the first event we did was What is Web3 in Hong Kong in June of 2022. Then we had a November one, which is why Hong Kong is a hub for Web3. Even before the Hong Kong government announced the virtual assets approved this year in June. So way ahead of him, educating and why that case, what we're having in the ecosystem. In March of this year, we did a parent and child NFT workshop and gallery opening for charity, which we train about 15 peers of students with their parents, and what from age 8 to 16. What is blockchain, what is NFT, and what is digital arts. And then the parents and kids will have 2 weeks after they learn about in a 4-hour class how to develop digital art and NFT themselves. And then we launched it on Dotted, which is another portfolio company of All-Star Women that we support to launch, even though the founder is a male, but he supports female a lot. So we educate him. And then we actually, everything we sold, the kids actually went around selling the NFT themselves in this nice gallery with, sea view and everything. And we pay for lunch and everything. And then about over 100 something people showed up in 2.5 hours. They sold close to 300 NFTs. And they raised about 30,000 Hong Kong dollars. And the kids actually on the same day gave a big check to the nonprofit organization. And this nonprofit organization supports underprivileged kids in education. So it's Kids for Kids, right? And the kids was like,
yeah, I think it's very excellent. It's absolutely also, Jack, I think you love this example because what I love about it is parents and kids together. Because honestly speaking, I'm less concerned about the kids that they get what this is all about because they're in all the games. So they know what avatars is, they know what skins are, they know what basically digital assets are, even though they are not owning them, as we know they're owning them in the game. But it's beautiful to see how parents learn basically also with their kids and have this all for impactful and very, very good purpose. So that's really amazing.
Jack, I just want to comment on that, Martha. I fully agree. It's so important. It's kind of a way for parents to also get involved as well. One of the businesses that I'm involved in is the AI-driven wellness companion for teenagers, Vive. It won a World Economic Forum Youth Mental Health Award as well. But the reason I mentioned that is I'm thinking even with the metaverse, the wellness of the kids are pretty important, especially with social experiments and information overload and identity crisis and all sorts of things that we struggle with. So that kind of sense making is very important. But there's also opportunity, as you say, to say, how do you bring in the family, the parents? And as we create a metaverse and these kind of wholesome experiences, we just need to make sure that it's still wholesome. We're still physical beings, but we can enhance the relationships, the way we interact with the metaverse. So it needs to be done very thoughtful with wisdom and really thinking about quality of life. Can we optimize quality of life as we do this? So it's not like a social experiment that's not working out. It's something that's done in a responsible way. But I'm very excited about the potential here, enormous.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's that it has to be mindful and thoughtful. And it's very obviously what I find the challenges with children metaverses and the adult metaverses that you cannot easily merge them. Yeah. So my metaverse, everyone, yes. And Akina has been there, is very excited about because we find it, wow, it's totally me. So it's my second home. But when I'm there with my nieces and nephews who are like 14 and 16, for them being a unicorn or being something else is very normal, right? And then they say, okay, what's the point? I mean, in my metaverse and my metaverse is really about the collaboration and it's more adults and corporates I have to say, because I think it's very boring. Yeah.
True.
No, that's such a great initiative, the Motiverse, and it's almost like you're living it out. You're talking a talk, it's almost like experimenting, and it's almost like if you think about a product as well, a minimum viable product. There's constant feedback from the users and people. Then you can adjust and see where you need to navigate, and it's almost like leading in this kind of space. So that's awesome. So well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I think the other question we also, it's one is the children and the parents, but obviously we also have a huge diversity of women, as you said, startups. I was just last night also at a startup female founder event, how we can support them. And also, Jack, you do something in this space and you are very, very strong in artificial intelligence, which is obviously something which is core to everything, also to the metaverse. People say, okay, metaverse is dead, the AI is alive, which is not entirely correct, because everything in the metaverse is driven by AI. So Jack, what's your view on that?
Yeah, Martha, it's such a great one. So I think it can play a very positive role to help foster the diversity in the metaverse. So you talked about avatars, for instance. So if you can enhance the avatar, say, customization, and you create avatars that accurately represents people's diverse identities, for instance, think about physical features or cultural expressions or personal styles, whatever it is. So if you can have AI that can assist enhance those kind of things, I think that's fantastic. Then also, if you think about people with disabilities or problems, whatever, if you can cater for those kind of needs as well. So I think there's one. Then the other one is quite interesting because with AI, you can obviously create bias and discrimination, but you can also combat that. If you have algorithms that's trained to identify and flag instances of bias and discrimination, and then you can safeguard users from harmful or exclusionary type of experiences. So those kind of things are all coming to play. And I also think about, it's so interesting with the metaverse as well, but if you think about metaverse governance, you can almost say Marthaverse governance. How does it work? Is it inclusive decision-making? How do you facilitate that? So I think there's so many different ways where AI can assist and help with this, no doubt.
No, absolutely. I think you mentioned a very, very good point about the role of the avatars, because we have seen also in neuroscience and in healthcare, like, for example, therapies, that some people are much more reactive when they are an avatar and talk to a psychologist than people that have this direct exposure. And you can also do a lot of training, obviously, in virtual worlds. I have came across a wonderful study where they had black and white kids again. And obviously, usually the understanding between, even nowadays, is shocking. It's not yet working that well. So they made the white kids basically being black avatars and having some simulation. There was a robbery, and then all the police came, and they came directly in the virtual world to the black white guys, and then they could feel themselves, because when you have the avatar, and people underestimate. So everyone who is now here, please try, come to the events from my side or from other people. Try to be an avatar, because then you will understand as the extension of yourself, and you will not imagine. You feel like it's you. So I had one in my metaverse who, she was wearing a big winter jacket, but my place is a summer place. And she said, sorry, I have to change before we start, because I cannot have an avatar with a big winter jacket. I feel warm. So this is a kind, even when you are not in VR, the kind of relationship you develop there. So apart from not let alone digital twins and what we can do with Apple Vision Pro, but it's pretty, pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Gabriel. Oh, no, I was just saying that, you know, like diversity in metaverse right now, because I think a lot of people mm-hmm. said metaverse is dead is because they don't understand that the metaverse is really not even out there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a lot of concept there. And then I think it's starting people to wonder, like, you know, how to really merge the metaverse together. So if the metaverse is basically a 3D version of the internet, then we don't have one. Right. So even Roblox, one of the supposed largest metaverse, because the CEO of Roblox liked to say, I'm like the metaverse from Web 2. Yeah, but it's not fully the metaverse, right? Because not everybody who joins a game can see each other. So that's the full concept of what a metaverse is. I join a community, I should be able to see everybody else in that community at the same time. And we're supposed to be able to converse and talk to each other, right? So I think that, but he says he's building the next social media on Roblox. I don't know how that will be, like what it will happen, because I'm a gamer. I just can't imagine. Like you literally can spend 2 to 3 hours easily a day on a game. Right? Yeah. And I'm just thinking, how would it be like if I can start talking to my community?
Yeah, but usually in Roblox, I know that from my nephews, actually, they have created this kind of communities where they talk in the games all the time. Yes. And that's why also during COVID, they were like, you know, the game was the only thing they could talk to each other, because the school system didn't replace this yet. So for good and for bad, because you have gaming addict as well. And we have over 3 billion gamers. So that's quite a huge population. Wow. Yeah.
Not really kids. I was just saying, like, now I still chat with my my Web 2 games with my community, but I don't see them, you know. I'm not partying with them. I'm not like, hey, are you cooking? And I'm not seeing them. It's chat. So I'm just saying, well, how would it change the world? And then we're like, it would be very interesting, because Roblox has a very diverse age, right, of players. Some of them is only 4 or 5 years old. So imagine if I'm playing the same game with a 4 or 5 year old, how would it be like I'm talking to a little kid, you know? It'd be really interesting. I'm just, you know, kind of like thinking, you know, how would that be like?
But but there is already a community outside the, like the platform I'm using, Spatial, also for the metaverse. They are all, I would say, 40 plus. And, you know, there are parties every Wednesday with music, and you have all this, and you have been, you can have these parties. It's not yet perfect, as you say, but you do like so much exchange, and you get almost like, wow, we can dance together, we can party together, and we can have this life together, in particular, it's cool because it's global, but it doesn't have yet the full feeling of our presence, that's for sure. Have a question here. Being in a metaverse, how can one guarantee their safety while utilizing the metaverse? That's an excellent question, and Jack, I pass this to you, because you have written a lot about it.
Yeah, the cybersecurity deepfake, there's going to be so many important things around this. But before, I just want to just comment quickly on what you mentioned before in terms of understanding other points of view and having empathy with others. And this kind of role play where people assume kind of different kind of roles within a metaverse could be an incredible vehicle to facilitate that. Because I think for sense making, for really better relationships, to really understand someone else better, it could be a kind of a simulation kind of environment where you do that. Now, this particular question is quite interesting. It's very important. And if we don't get that right, we can easily create chaos. Yes. So that's why trustworthy AI guardrails, when we talk about, it's not just AI guardrails, when you talk about trustworthy metaverse guardrails, like the whole ecosystem environment, it's going to be very important. We see this in real world, real life. If there's no order, if there's no laws or governments or structures, it could be chaos. And even in our minds, our brain is like a prediction engine, but it runs on narratives, which is, could be true or not true, whatever it is. It's biased. It's obviously colored in. Joshua Bach has got this saying that we actually create this personal, the story of a person that's playing out in the universe. That's actually what we're doing in our brains. So with the metaverse, you can also move it up there as well. But now you sit with this kind of persona that you create that's playing out in the real world. And now this person needs to play out also in the metaverse. And you want to have consistency there as well. So I think we got to be, this is part, when we talked about responsible wisdom, this is very important. If we have to sort out the guardrails with this as well. And it comes to things like cybersecurity. Yeah. Sorry, go for it.
There was another question which I find very important. It's about how families can be together in the metaverse. And I think what also Akina mentioned in the sense of, start in Roblox, because in Roblox you can play together. And I think it's important when your kids play in Roblox that you know basically how it works. And I know a lot of the parents, they basically start engaging with their kids also on Roblox, because not only you know how the environment works, but you can have, like, maybe previously you had, I don't know, do you play in Asia? You play Mahjong with the kids? What kind of place do you play there? I don't know. But you had this kind of place. But now I think you have to go more to virtual worlds, because you have to be where the kids are. So this could be the kind of family events, in my view. Akina, do you have anything to add, as you also do a lot with the kids?
Well, I think that the kids right now, they're already in the metaverse. It's the parents that are not, right?
Exactly.
And then most parents are not, and they don't understand that, and you're in the tech and, you know, the Web3 space. So that's why I said that, you know, and then talking about AI and Godwell, that's where gamers and then any metaverse in the future have to stipulate, is kid allowed to be in the same room with adults? But of course, we know that people can pretend to be kids when they're not, and then kids can pretend to be adults when they're not, right? But I think that, like, the bank, they will have to have their own KYC policy to check, you know, you have to put in your ID, like, you know, when you open a virtual bank account or a crypto account, they ask you for your, your passport or your ID card, just to make sure you're who you are, right? I guess in the future, in the metaverse, they might have to do something like that just to protect the kids. Because as a parent, I'd be really worried if my kids can talk to adults, right? Because in adults, we talk differently from kids. You know, there's certain things we want to protect the kids from, you know?
But that's why also what Jack talked about, and what also was one of the questions, how can we ensure safety? At the moment, it's a little bit, you have to say, Wild West, because we don't have sufficient regulation. In that case, it's very, very, very difficult right now. So you need to choose where you are very carefully. And then also there are certain limitations to what you do. So in every metaverse, when you go into this, there are different purposes, you can say, to what do you do. So mine is really for collaboration, for talking. I'm not exchanging data. I'm not having transaction yet, but there are similar places where you can have safe transaction. But from my point of view, because I'm also the founder of one of the metaverses, my metaverse, I'm very, very careful always with the next level, as long as it's not, you can say there. I'm very explorative, so I do things in an innovative way. But at the same time, my background is I'm a lawyer by training. So I always have this. as a lawyer, you are lost, I think. If you try to see, okay, what are the real rules, it's very, very hard. That's why the environment you have to choose. You have to choose what you do, what is your purpose, who is the audience. And you already said, one of the audience here said, oh my God, all my students are on Roblox. So if you are not yet on Roblox, they love it even to play Roblox, like everyone. We have 50 million players every month. And there are also a lot of brands in Roblox, which are for adults. So my recommendation is really not because I love Roblox so much, but it's because you need to know where your audience is and you need to know where to go. So also when brands and companies come to me and ask, oh, okay, we want to be in Decentraland as another metaverse, or we want to be here or there, then it's always a question, but what you want to achieve, where you want to be, and what's the impact, what's the value creation? So it's not alone about making the big money anymore. It's about how can you create the value? And I think, Jack, in your book, you have also beautiful phrase that it's behind you. We can hardly see it, but we want to create something which is working for all of us, which is inclusive and which creates a better world. And that's what we are here for. And that's also what the community and MetaShapers we are using. So I see we are coming closer to the end. So I don't want to forget that you can DM us on, we are all on LinkedIn. We are all very happy to exchange, to help you, to come up with ideas, to support you. Join the community All-Star Woman DAO. You can contact Akina. We really, really love to support you, but also love your support for sure. Jack is a superhero in not only in AI, in emerging tech. So please feel free to reach out. I think what connects us all is really this passion for creating something which is better for the entire world. It's a very, very high ambition, but if we don't have the high ambition, how can we achieve it? So the hat is back. I see. So next time we will all have the hat. So we all rule. We all rule. When we all sitting here, we ignore when you come.
Yeah, it's like in a class, you know, you have to now go. The class is over. So yeah, something like that. But thank you so much. It was so amazing. In such a short time, you were summarizing it so well. We touched on a lot of topics. Of course, this 20 minutes is not enough. It's just a little intro curiosity for people to dig deeper. But that's what also one of the chapters of the Empowerment Hub is, bring digital transformation into the awareness and help people who are just not in the environment where they are hearing about these things, and help them to bring a little bit of knowledge, make them curious so that they can go to other communities where they are digging deeper and learning more about it. Loved all the insights. Amazing topic as always. So much more to talk about. Beautiful, beautiful shares from all the three of you. I will let you go back to your friends gathering, Akina, for your busy life, Marta, and Chuck, for your day. So thank you so much for being here. It was amazing. Please do go back to the YouTube channel to your links later, because in the next upcoming week, I think people will be rewatching it, and maybe there are more questions popping up. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye.
Have a good day. Bye bye.